Louisiana's sports leader, 96.1 FM, WSBT presents Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat.
Booger, up and in! With 2 seconds left, Notre Dame leads!
Malpas again, backhands, he scores!
Down to the corner, Jablonski, three is good!
Andrew steps in, he's going to throw deep for T.Y., he's got it!
Flips to Jenkins, three for the win, it's good! Villanova wins it!
He tied, it is a touchdown! New England wins!
Adios! Cubs win their ninth in a row!
Miles Boykin is in the end zone! The Irish have come back!
Your hosts are Eric Hansen and Darren Pritchett.
Good evening, everyone. It is 6 minutes after the top of the hour. Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat is presented by Budweiser. Great times are waiting. Grab some Buds. Thanks for joining us on 96.1 WSBT, WSBTRadio.com, and on the WSBT Radio app. I'm Darren Pritchett from our WSBT Radio studios in Mishawaka. Eric Hansen is the Fighting Irish football insider for the South Bend Tribune. He comes to us live from Indianapolis, the site of the NFL Combine, where three members of the Notre Dame football team in 2017 met the media today. Down at the Combine, running back Josh Adams and offensive lineman Mike McGlinchey and Quentin Nelson. Coming up in just a little bit, you will hear from Josh Adams, and Eric asked, I thought, a very important question. With the reduction in production of Josh Adams over the final five games of the year, was he 100% healthy? Hear Josh's answer coming up in just a couple of moments here on WSBT Radio. Also, the return of Bonzi Colson. Very successful. Notre Dame wins, and Bonzi looks very good in 21 minutes of action. You will hear from Bonzi coming up in just a few moments. His reaction to the performance as he spoke to the media after the game last night. Tyler James is the Fighting Irish football insider for the South Bend Tribune, and he will bring us his IndyInsider.com recruiting update in 20 minutes live from the NFL Combine in Indianapolis. Coming up next hour on the program, we'll hear from Notre Dame offensive lineman Mike McGlinchey. More on the Notre Dame victory over Pittsburgh, 73-56, plus another installment of Rapid Fire from 96.1 WSBT, the sports leader. We check in for the first time this afternoon with Eric Hansen, the Fighting Irish football insider for the South Bend Tribune, live at the NFL Combine in Indianapolis. Eric, good to talk to you. How are you?
I'm doing good. Darren, how are you?
Doing very well. Thank you very much. And we're going to talk to you about hearing from Josh Adams today and some of his comments coming up in a little bit. But first, let's get to the return of Bonzi Colson last night. Playing for the first time in 15 games, Colson played 21 minutes. He shot 6 of 10 from the field, 12 points, and 9 rebounds. Not a bad performance considering he has not played since December 30th. And in the first half of the basketball game, he played 12 minutes, went 4 of 6, 8 points, 6 rebounds, 2 blocks, and 1 assist. Boy, he sure was not rusty last night. And Eric, I kind of felt like his versatility would allow him to get into a good flow last night, and he gave us several looks of his offensive game, putting the ball into the basket from a couple of different areas on the floor. Eric, walking away from that game last night, I would have to think his teammates have to feel extremely confident going forward that their All-American teammate looked as good as he did last night.
Yeah, you just kind of, you know, I thought maybe there would be a little bit more of a difficult, you know, reentry kind of point for him. And he looked like, you know, what? I haven't played since December. What are you talking about? It was really kind of neat to see. And it'll be interesting to see how he built stamina, how he's able to come back, you know, if he's sore. Mm-hmm. And then he has to go against a really good Virginia team the next time up. But I think if I'm a Notre Dame player, I'm thinking, you know what? No door is closed to us. You know, some improbable things can happen. And so, and some, you know, NIT-ish things could happen too. But I wouldn't rule anything out at this point because Bonzi's such a wild card now.
We have reached March. Let the madness begin, and maybe some good madness coming the way of the Fighting Irish. And Alan Wasilewski, who is in charge of all things media for the Notre Dame basketball team, tweeted this out this afternoon, that if the Irish lose to Virginia, which means they're 8-10 of the ACC, if Florida State loses to Boston College, Notre Dame would be the number 9 seed in the ACC tournament. That would mean they would line up with the top seed Virginia in the quarterfinals. If Florida State beats Boston College, Notre Dame is the 10 seed. The other scenario, if they beat Virginia, that means 9-9, and they are going to secure the number 9 seed if they win. So two out of the three scenarios given would give Notre Dame the 9 seed in the ACC tournament. The only way they would be a 10 seed as of right now, the way it looks, is if Florida State beats Boston College. That game would be in Tallahassee, and Florida State would be the favorite to win that game down in the Sunshine State. So that's where we stand with the Irish basketball team in terms of the ACC tournament. Here's a sample of what Bonzi Colson had to say last night following his 21-minute performance, 12 points, 9 rebounds, helping the Irish beat Pittsburgh 73-56.
The way everybody played tonight, how can that springboard into Saturday?
Yeah, I think that's huge. I think everybody's playing well. You know, everybody's staying in character, which is important. And we still got to keep building. Every day, just keep empty in the tank, staying available through it all, and continue to gain that confidence.
It's been really important to be played this year, but the way you guys were able to handle Virginia last year, how much confidence is going on this afternoon?
Yeah, I mean, I think all of our confidence is high right now. Every single person on team. And I think we're really hungry and motivated to, you know, go out there and get that one. And, you know, we have a couple days to, you know, learn about them a little bit. Obviously, they play great defense and great guys who can shoot the ball. But we'll learn about them. We'll get back to, you know, scouting, just sticking to what we do and empty the table.
After everything that's gone on in the last 2 months, we'll get to 9-9 this year. Pretty amazing.
Yeah, I think, you know, that'll be huge for us. You know, I think it's a goal that we can reach. And we just got to keep emptying the tank and keep playing hard. My foot's fine. Foot's not an issue. I'll tell you that. There's a big titanium screw in there. I'm good.
Play was great, but I just wanted to know emotions of this whole night, senior night, and finally taking over.
Yeah, I mean, it was great. You know, my aunt and uncles who haven't been here before was here, and, you know, touring the campus, and, you know, for them to come down here and support just shows the love they have for me. And then having my sister stay was special, and I was really proud of her, and she did really well. And having my family there, who's just been stuck by my side through all the ups and downs, and, you know, was really special. But, you know, for all of our seniors, we thank everybody and thank all the fans and the community for, you know, and all the fans just for supporting us through it all and, you know, trusting that we can get better each year and not count us out.
Some of the comments of senior Bonzi Colson following the 73-56 Notre Dame victory over Pittsburgh. The Irish are now 18-12, 8-9 in the ACC, the regular season finale in Charlottesville against number 1 Virginia, Saturday at 4 o'clock, 3:40 pregame right here on 96.1 WSBT, the sports leader. And again, if they win, they are the number 9 seed in the ACC tournament, and that means they would have the chance to beat Virginia twice in the same calendar week, because that would be the second opponent if the Irish would beat the 8th seed in their second round matchup. More on the Irish basketball team coming up in just a matter of moments. We bring Eric Hansen back in from the NFL Combine in Indianapolis, where he is covering former Notre Dame players going through the Combine process for the South Bend Tribune and NDInsider.com. Josh Adams was at the podium today, the Irish running back who decided to leave school a year early. 3 years at the University of Notre Dame, Adams with 38 career games, 481 rushes, 3,198 yards. He averaged 6.6 yards per carry, 20 touchdowns with 41 receptions. Now, his 2017 campaign running behind the Joe Moore Award-winning offensive line, that award given to the best offensive line in the country, Adams had 206 rushes for 1,430 yards, 6.9 yards per carry, 9 touchdowns. But it is worth noting, and NFL teams have noted this, over the last 5 games, Adams' production diminished significantly. Over the last five games, 74 rushes, only 261 yards, and he only averaged 3.5 yards per carry coming down the stretch. So Eric Hansen had the chance to jump in on a media scrum where Josh Adams was involved with a media session at the NFL Combine down in Indianapolis today. And one of the things that Eric wanted the answer to was about the production drop of Josh Adams late in the year. And here's how that conversation went.
I guess through the last half of the season with your health, where were you through the last half and where are you now compared to the last half of your season?
I feel like I finished the season out strong physically and mentally. Obviously, we got the win in our bowl game, so that was just great for us as a team. But just making a transition to training and making my transition down to Fort Lauderdale, I feel like my body was great. I chose a place where I was able to take care of my body and really prepare myself for the combine and for my pro day and workouts following. So I'm feeling very healthy. I'm feeling good. I just can't wait to go and compete.
Were you 100% the whole second half of the season?
I don't think anybody was 100% in any part of the season, but I feel like I was really healthy in the second part, and I felt good at first.
That's where it gets really hard to hear. I'm going to stop the audio there because some of the weightlifting portion of the combine was not too far away, and it really just kind of killed Josh's voice. He's a very, very quiet individual, so it was really hard to hear his comments that wrapped up. But basically what he said there, Eric, when you asked him if he was healthy coming down the stretch of last season, a couple of things that stood out. His body was great. Everybody, he said, has bumps and bruises. So if the body was great and the Joe Moore award-winning offensive line was intact, now I know teams wanted to take away the running game late in the year. They wanted Brandon Wimbush to beat them. The Miami game was a prime example, and Eric, once Miami put forth that game plan, copycatting took place. The teams coming up on the schedule wanted to take away that running game, so after hearing Josh's comments where he said, hey, my body felt great, your takeaway of his final five games, was it basically defenses trying to take him away? Is that the number one reason why that production went down?
I think it was a combination of things there, and I think there was certainly the strategic part of it where teams said, okay, we are going to make it very, very difficult to run even behind the best offensive line in the country. And we're going to take our chances with Notre Dame's passing game. And Notre Dame's passing game wasn't able to make that hurt. But I didn't think Josh looked himself. I just didn't think in the games that were in November, he looked as quick, that he looked as fresh. You know, he had the kind of mid-year crisis where he had, he sat out the better part of a game because he kind of overdid it studying and didn't balance things well and take care of his body. So I think there are a lot of questions that, you know, we're certainly limited as the media to getting to the bottom of something. I think when he's in his interviews, they're going to want to get to the bottom of those issues. And certainly they have medical checks here. But he seemed to be in good spirits. He did kind of sidestep the question to a certain extent, because I kind of came back to it and he said, well, you know, nobody's 100% at any time of the year, you know. But he has a chance to show that he's healthy now, and he'll still get durability questions because he had the knee injury in high school and he's had, you know, injuries at various times at Notre Dame. But, you know, he did get one of his workouts done. He was, he got the bench press, he did 18 reps, which was pretty good. He was tied for ninth highest. Of course, Saquon Barkley was expected to be at the top of that. He and Nick Chubb did 29, which is a lot for running backs.
Wow.
But 18 is pretty good, and we'll see how he runs, how he jumps, how he does in drills, you know, how he catches the ball. That's going to be really important for him. You know, if the five guys that are down here for Notre Dame, and that's the two All-American offensive linemen, with Lynch and Nelson, Josh Adams, and then wide receiver Equanimeous St. Brown and tight end Durham Smythe. I think Josh has the widest range of where he could go in the draft.
Agreed.
And his performances, and I think he'll interview great. Teams will love him from a personality standpoint, but, you know, how sold are they on his durability? How sold are they on his measurables? And he has a chance to at least put up some numbers tomorrow in the 40-yard dash and all the jumping drills that might help his case a little bit.
Well, Eric, I will say this. If you're asking the question to Josh, is he healthy? It is a tough question for him to ask, because if he gave the answer that, well, the passing game was really struggling and teams tried to take me away, NFL teams aren't going to like that because it looks like he's passing the buck to somebody else for his problem. So you can't really say that. I mean, I get that. And I don't think he wants to say he was hurt coming down the stretch, because, Eric, that's a big part of his whole draft resume right now. Why did you miss so much action? A lot of times he didn't play in fourth quarters. Notre Dame protected him. That was one reason. But he was also banged up throughout his career. So it is a delicate question to have to answer. You don't want to unload on your former teammates. That's not going to look good to NFL teams. I mean, I agree with you. I don't believe he looked himself. There was a little hitch in his giddy up, I thought, coming down the stretch. And sure, teams tried to take him away, but sometimes you have to fight through when there are more hats down in the trenches than you guys have, and you got to figure out a way to pick up some yards. I just thought he became very tentative once he was handed the football the second half of the year. It felt like sometimes, and this is just my opinion, people can prove me wrong, but I really feel like it seemed like at times he was going for that 70-yard run rather than getting the 4 yards that was available. Maybe waiting too long, trying to find that perfect hole. And I think that was a small part of the reason why the numbers dropped significantly over the final 5 games.
Yeah, one other interesting thing, Darren, was, you know, he was listed at 225 pounds during the season, and I didn't have a chance to ask him about this because I hadn't seen his measurables when he came to the podium today, but he was 213 when he weighed in, which I think is a significant difference from 225. So I would think that that was on purpose, that he wants to come off a little bit quicker. He measured in at 6'1 and 5'8". We don't care about his hand size with a running back. His hands are big enough. So, I thought that was kind of interesting that he had lost 12 pounds.
Mm-hmm. Eric Hansen down at the NFL Combine. I'm Darren Pritchett in our WSBT studios. Let me get to one more soundbite from Josh Adams. Again, Josh, a little more soft-spoken, and with all the ruckus in the room, it's sometimes hard to hear Josh. Now, Eric got some McGlinchey audio, and you can hear him perfectly. he has a strong voice, and he knows how to use that voice. Josh is a little more soft-spoken, so I apologize at times. It might be hard to hear, but Josh was asked about what he needs to improve on going to the next level.
Just improve on all of my game. Just improve on the areas where I might not have seemed to have the opportunity to do certain things, like in the receiving game. And I brought it to their attention that I always want to improve on all the little things, my pass protection and running the ball. So you can always improve on something, and it was just great to get that feedback and to really know what teams think of you, and so you can use that and grow as a player.
What role did you play on special teams?
This is Eric asking about his decision to leave school.
The round that I would have went didn't have any effect on it. It was just more of my family and my support from my teammates and my coaches, just talking with those guys and just learning and trying to pick their brain about what they thought and getting feedback from them and me as a man trying to make that decision for myself and make the best decision for me. And, you know, and I'm blessed enough to say that I had their support whichever way I went. So, and that's why Indy is such a great university and such a great culture, because you have people like that who are supportive and people like that who will help you succeed in life.
Josh Adams talking about why he decided to enter the NFL draft. Eric, my mind has not changed. He had to go. Coming back another year was going to do nothing for his draft status. In fact, it could have hurt it if more injuries popped up. And you just want to make sure you go to the NFL with as few carries as possible, and you take a look at his career, 481 rushes, that total getting pretty high at the college level. This decision makes sense. I'm not sure how it's going to work out. I don't think it would have been any better next year. So this was really the time to go for Josh Adams, and now let's see what he can make of it.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think of the four juniors that we're considering, he had the least to gain by coming back. And certainly running behind a line that wouldn't include Nelson and McGlinchey and not really knowing what the quarterback situation was going to turn into, you know, this was probably the time to go for him. And again, I thought it was interesting. He wasn't really concerned with the round. You know, that didn't factor in to his decision. So nobody gave him bad advice. As we're looking at it, the high end of what I've seen in projections for Josh is third round. And the low end, sixth or seventh. So anywhere in there, you know, seems realistic at this point. And again, some of the numbers he puts up tomorrow might convince some people, and just depending on what he runs. It's going to be interesting because, you know, you didn't think of Jeff as one of the fastest guys on the team like Troy Pride Jr., but They put a timer on him running one of his long touchdown runs, and he really it projected as a guy that was a sub 4.5 40. So it'll be interesting again as big as he is to see what he runs tomorrow.
Eric Hansen, Fighting Irish Football Insider for the South Bend Tribune, down at the NFL Combine. Eric's going to leave us for a little bit, and he's going to come back to wrap up this hour of the program with a little more NFL Combine talk. So, Eric, I will speak with you in just a little bit.
Sounds good.
That's Eric Hansen. I'm Darren Pritchett from our WSBT studios. Also in Indianapolis is Tyler James, Fighting Irish Football Recruiting Insider for the South Bend Tribune. He will host the IndyInsider.com recruiting update live from Indy next. It is 28 minutes after the top of the hour. And this is Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat brought to you by Budweiser. Great times are waiting. Grab some Buds on 96.1 WSBT, the sports leader.
Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat continues on 96.1 FM WSBT with the IndyInsider.com recruiting update. Here's Darren Pritchett, Eric Hansen, and the South Bend Tribune. Fighting Irish Football Recruiting Insider, Tyler James.
And Tyler comes to us from the NFL Combine in Indianapolis, where he is covering that event for the South Bend Tribune and IndyInsider.com. We're going to talk all things Fighting Irish Football Recruiting in this segment. And Tyler, let's begin by talking about a 2019 Notre Dame commitment. That is quarterback Cade McNamara. Now, recently, he picked up offers from Georgia and Alabama. So is this something Notre Dame fans should be worried about?
I think so. I think there is some reason. I think he's saying everything publicly right now that he's still committed to Notre Dame. And I think Notre Dame could certainly keep him in the class. But I think anytime you get to teams that are playing in the national championship coming after your quarterback commitment, you certainly need to make sure that he still wants to come here. So Notre Dame coaching staff is going to have its hands full and making sure they have a good understanding of how Cade McNamara feels. And we'll certainly be monitoring to see if he sets up any visits to any of these schools that have offered him recently. USC and Michigan are also a couple schools that offered him in the last few months. I think it would certainly behoove Notre Dame to get him back on campus sooner rather than later to make sure everything is good with his commitment.
Tyler, did Notre Dame get the services of McNamara, at least in a verbal commitment, before he really became hot across the country? Did they strike early with this guy?
Yeah, absolutely they did. He committed before this past season. He committed last summer. And so that was going into his junior season. And at the time when Notre Dame offered, he only had offers from Wisconsin, Nevada, Hawaii, San Diego State, those kinds of schools. So he wasn't necessarily a big-time recruit at that point. He was making some visits to other places, but a lot of the big-time programs hadn't pushed for him in terms of offers. And Tommy Reese liked what he saw. And so I think this is kind of our first sign that Tommy Reese seems to be pretty good at evaluating quarterbacks. It's a guy that he liked last summer is now being targeted by the likes of USC, Michigan, Georgia, Alabama, those kinds of programs. So Tommy Reese certainly did a good job of getting ahead of this for Notre Dame. The 2019 class was the first kind of quarterback class that he worked on because Phil Dracovic was already committed. So this is his first chance to do that, and it looks like Tommy certainly has picked a good one.
Tyler, this is the second go-around with the early signing period, and as we learned last year, everything just basically gets pushed up on the calendar. So there just seems to be a lot of social media chatter about Notre Dame offering this guy and that guy lately, and you're counting maybe around 150 guys have reported offers at this particular time. So with this being the second time going through this early signing period cycle, are they right on pace where they were last year, and how does this maybe compare to previous years when we didn't have the early signing period?
I don't have the exact numbers in terms of their pace from last year, but I think they're ahead of schedule. The last recruiting cycle, they only had 181 total offers in the 2018 class, and certainly that helped. They had a pretty good class together by the start of the season, and didn't have to really extend a ton of offers down the stretch, but they were able to kind of build it as they felt they needed. But 150 at this point, I think it puts them on pace to probably set what would be a record in the Kelly area. By from my counting and my career tracking Notre Dame recruiting, I think the most was in the 2017 class, which was a little more than 200 scholarship offers that Notre Dame had extended. So I think we're seeing that the shifted timeline of the early signing period and with earlier official visits, which can start in April through June, it makes it important that Notre Dame gets out there and has a pretty good understanding of where they stand with recruits early on, and a lot of times extending an offer is the best way to do that.
Tyler James talking Fighting Irish football recruiting on the IndyInsider.com recruiting update on WSBT. You can read Tyler in the South Bend Tribune and IndyInsider.com. Sticking with the 2019 class right now, the Fighting Irish have four verbal commitments in that group. And Rivals is now coming out with their first top 250 list for the class of 2019. Does Notre Dame stand up well on that list?
Notre Dame actually was shut out on the new Rivals 250 for the 2019 class. It was actually the second time they had released a 250. They released the first one in August, and back then Cade McNamara and Jacob Lacey were both on the list, and those guys fell off. They're still four-star recruits, and Hunter Spears is a four-star recruit, and then KJ Wallace is a three-star recruit, but none of those guys are seen as one of the top 250 recruits in this class. Certainly with the offers that are coming Cade McNamara's way, that's a little bit eye-opening and something we'll see if maybe Rivals changes his mind by the time it comes out with its next round of rankings. But it's kind of interesting to see Notre Dame finished, I believe, with 10 commitments in the top 250 for Rivals in the 2018 class. So certainly that's a high bar that they're hoping to achieve, and we'll see if guys like Hunter Spears, who didn't play in his junior season, so I think him not being in the 250 makes some sense, kind of wait and see how he bounces back after a knee injury. But to see Lacey and McNamara drop out of the 250, that was a little bit interesting.
So the lesson is probably these four players have not been in front of rivals' eyes very often.
Yeah, that could be the case. I don't know their list of rivals camps and what they have been to, but
just
certainly
guessing.
Everything is fluid, and they aren't afraid to adjust the rankings if they see fit.
Okay, fair enough. Tyler, let's talk about Notre Dame hosting some recruits this weekend from not only the 19 class, but the 2020 class. Are there some names that we need to know about that's going to be here this weekend?
Yeah, they have a pretty impressive group of kids that are expecting on campus. This is essentially their second junior day of the spring. Well, I guess the winter still. They had one back in January, and then they're hosting guys again this weekend. by my count, I have seven guys that are expected to be on campus in the 2019 class that already have offers. Harry Miller and Zeke Correll are both four-star offensive linemen that Notre Dame is certainly interested on. Marcus Hicks, a defensive end from Kansas, who's been on campus a couple times previously. Notre Dame would like to see and keep in good standing with him. Raymond Woody, an athlete out of he's in Florida right now. He's actually a son of an assistant coach at Florida State who's actually traveled around the country with Willie Taggart from job to job. And then Salim Turner Muhammad is a cornerback out of Virginia that Notre Dame offered back in January. Lance Dixon is a linebacker out of Michigan that Notre Dame offered back in January. And Steel Chambers is a running back out of Georgia that has really seen his offer list pick up as of late. And he actually went to a Notre Dame game back in 2016, so he's a little bit familiar with the Irish already, and they're getting him back on campus with an offer now. And then in terms of the 2020 class, some early guys to keep a track of: A.J. Henning, a running back wide receiver out of Illinois, Lincoln Way East High School, Paris Johnson, an offensive lineman out of Cincinnati, San Xavier, a school that Notre Dame is definitely familiar with. Riley Mills is a defensive end out of Illinois, Lake Forest High School, and Jordan Johnson, a wide receiver out of St. Louis that Notre Dame offered recently as well. So I think it's a pretty impressive group of kids to get. This junior day has more of a Midwest feel than the one back in January. They were able to pull a lot of guys from across the country back in January, and this one, for the most part, is mostly Midwest guys. And I think the way the recruiting calendar keeps moving up, that it's important to establish good relationships with these guys and get them on campus as early as possible.
Tyler, your gut feeling to this question, going through the early signing period last year for the first time, would you anticipate the first 2020 verbal commitment to happen over the next couple of months?
That wouldn't be surprising. I think
really?
Sometimes that doesn't happen until maybe the summertime, but if these guys are getting on campus and they've visited some other places, that wouldn't be terribly ahead of schedule for okay. previous classes. So I think that it certainly wouldn't be unreasonable to see the 2020 class get underway. Even though the 2019 class only has four guys, the 2020 class, Notre Dame is certainly active in evaluating guys and getting a sense of where they stand with certain guys there too.
Tyler, let's wrap up our conversation by talking about what you were doing today, as you had the chance at the NFL Combine to be around my Heisman Trophy candidate, offensive guard Quentin Nelson. He met the media down at the Combine today. Anything stand out from listening to Big Q today?
I think a couple things. The big thing was, and maybe it was more of a personal note of just kind of watching Quentin go through this process and remembering what he was like doing interviews as a recruit and early in his college career. He was pretty comfortable up there. He carried himself well. I think it was probably the best interview scrum session that I can remember him being a part of. He did a good job. I think one thing that was interesting that he talked about, someone asked him about a guard being a top five pick, and he kind of explained that he feels like that is fair because the quarterback needs to be protected in front of him in addition to on the edge. So I think you just look at the Super Bowl, Tom Brady was strip sacked by mm-hmm. an interior pass rush against the guard by Brandon Graham, and that prevents the Patriots from coming back against the Eagles. So he said he's the top offensive lineman in the draft. I think it's hard to argue against that. And one other note, I think that was interesting. He said that teams haven't necessarily talked to him about playing tackle. I think he feels most comfortable at guard, but he also said he could play all five positions if he was asked to. So certainly going to be interesting to see where Quentin Nelson lands in terms of how high in the NFL draft, because I think he seems pretty rock solid, if you ask me.
Tyler, let me double-check. Your phone kind of cracked. Did you say NFL teams have asked him about the tackle position?
They said they haven't, so
haven't.
I don't know
okay.
how many teams have not. I don't know how many teams he's necessarily talked to, he did say that he would be willing to play all five positions if he was asked to.
Well, he can play center, he can play both guards, and I'm sure he'd figure out a way to play the tackle position. Tyler, what should we look forward to in the South Bend Tribune and IndyInsider.com?
Yeah, I'll have a story on Quentin Nelson from his interview session today, and then also tons more information on the visitors coming in this weekend. That'll be in Saturday's paper, and more stuff from the guys you're interviewing tomorrow.
Very good. Tyler, thanks for doing this while you're on the road down in Indianapolis at the NFL Combine. We greatly appreciate it, and enjoy your stay.
Absolutely, no problem. Thanks, Aaron.
Thank you so much. That's Tyler James covering all things Fighting Irish football recruiting and the NFL Combine for the South Bend Tribune and IndyInsider.com. 15 minutes in front of the top of the hour. Eric rejoins me from the NFL Combine in Indianapolis next, and we will talk about some of the competition that Josh Adams faces trying to get drafted in what appears to be a pretty decent running back group for the 2018 NFL Draft. Also coming up next hour, you will hear from Fighting Irish left tackle Mike McGlinchey, his day in front of the media down at the NFL Combine. More on the Irish beating the Pittsburgh Panthers at Purcell Pavilion last night and the successful return of Bonzi Colson, plus rapid fire, all coming up. This is Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat, presented by Budweiser on 96.1 WSBT, the sports leader. It is 10 minutes in front of the top of the hour. You've tuned in to Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat, 96.1 WSBT, presented by Budweiser. I'm WSBT Radio Sports Director Darren Pritchett from our WSBT studios. Eric Hansen, the Fighting Irish football insider for the South Bend Tribune, is down in Indianapolis at the 2018 NFL Combine. Former Irish players, running back Josh Adams and offensive lineman Mike McGlinchey and Quentin Nelson, met the media today. And Eric and Tyler James will have stories in the South Bend Tribune tomorrow. Also check out IndyInsider.com. In our opening segment of the program, we spent some time hearing from Irish running back Josh Adams today as he met the media down in Indianapolis. And Eric, as you look at the competition in the 2018 NFL Draft at the running back spot, it sure appears that Josh has some pretty stiff competition. As you look at the group, do you feel like this is a pretty deep running back group? And let's also point out, the last few years, the running back position has really been de-emphasized in the NFL draft. You're seeing teams waiting after the first round to pick up the running back. So that could also play into when Josh Adams get taken, because there's for sure probably four or five guys that will be taken before Josh, which could push him back if not many are taken in the opening round of the NFL draft. So back to my initial question, Eric, do you feel like this is a pretty competitive running back group that Josh will have to contend with?
I do, and when you, again, look at his standing amongst them, you know, the highest they've really seen him is ninth among running backs. You know, you see him drop into maybe as far as down as 13 or 14. I mean, that doesn't mean he's not a quality player. It's just there's more questions about both his durability and his skill set. Excuse me. And, you know, he doesn't have a lot of career pass receptions, for example, Darren.
Mm-hmm.
And so teams are going to kind of want to see that from him in the workouts and so forth. And I know that he's eager to kind of show that he is good at that. But again, the fact that Notre Dame didn't use him much in that role is going to kind of raise some eyebrows. Josh Adams was a three-star running back coming out of high school who overcame tremendous odds to become, you know, one of the all-time leading rushers at Notre Dame. I believe fifth on the career list and second on the single season list. He's third in terms of average per carry career. So he's the kind of guy that you really don't want to underestimate. But again, I don't expect him. I think that he will be better in the NFL than what his draft position will suggest his NFL career will look like.
Scott Wright, who we both appreciate his work from DraftCountdown.com, has Josh Adams of Notre Dame as his ninth best running back in this draft. And looking at the top, I mean, the top three guys, I'd be very surprised if they're not the first three taken, led by Saquon Barkley of Penn State, the very versatile, speedy running back. He's going to go probably in the top five for sure. I saw a mock draft today. He goes number two to the New York Giants, a guy that Notre Dame saw in their bowl game from LSU, Darius Geis, and then another player Notre Dame saw this year, USC's Ronald Jones, who was very quiet, actually, against the Fighting Irish at Notre Dame Stadium. Those are three backs that bring, you know, pretty good versatility to the table. And just going through the other names ahead of Josh Adams, Rashad Penny of San Diego State. Then you got Sonny Michael and Nick Chubb of Georgia, Kerryon Johnson of Auburn, and Bo Scarborough of Alabama. To me, Eric, Barkley, Guice, Jones, and Penny, I don't see how Adams can jump those four guys unless there's an injury that comes into play for them. And then it's just going to come down to, I think, the need of a team, depending on which direction they go for the type of running back they're looking for. So, to me, this is a mid-round back, Josh Adams. I kind of feel like he might be toward the back end of those projections you were talking about, maybe a fifth or sixth round guy. I think he's going to get drafted, but the injuries, the way he finished up his junior season, and just some of the versatility ahead of him puts him, I think, in a very difficult spot where he's got a chance to possibly catch up by doing some good things this week in Indianapolis.
Yeah, and you mentioned Kerryon Johnson, and I think Kerryon is a guy that going into this combine, most people would have said is the better back. He did not do himself any favors today. He did 11 reps on the bench press. Now, he certainly has a chance to do some good things tomorrow in the running and the jumping fast part of this combine, but that was not a good start for Kerryon Johnson, 11 reps on the bench press.
No question. No question. All right, more on Josh Adams coming up in tomorrow's South Bend Tribune. Eric will tell us what's coming up in the South Bend Tribune sports section next. It is 4 minutes in front of the top of the hour at 96.1 WSBT.
Here's Eric Hansen with what's coming up in tomorrow's South Bend Tribune sports section.
Well, Tom Noe has a column on Riley Senior basketball player Ryland Grundy. We have an ND Hoops chat transcript from Tom. Tyler has the latest on the NFL Combine darling Quinn Nelson. I have the latest on Josh Adams. Lots of other stuff going on, which I always classify as much, much more, Darren.
Eric, thank you. We'll talk to you tomorrow from the Combine.
Sounds great.
That's Eric Hansen. I'm Darren Pritchett, top of the hour, WSBT South Bend.
Michiana's sports leader, 96.1 FM, WSBT presents Budweiser's weekday sports beat.
Booger, up and in! With 2 seconds left, Notre Dame leads!
Malpas again, backhands, he scores!
Down to the corner, Jablonski, three is good!
Andrew steps in, he's going to throw deep for T.Y., he's got it!
Flips to Jenkins, three for the win, it's good! Villanova wins it!
He tied, it is a touchdown! New England wins!
Adios! Cubs win their ninth in a row!
Miles Boykin is in the end zone! The Irish have come back!
Here are your hosts, Darren Pritchett and Sean Stiers.
Another hour of Sports Beat presented by Budweiser comes your way on 96.1 WSBT, the sports leader. Good luck to all the high school boys basketball teams taking part in sectional semifinals tonight, including in our area. You can check out games at Mishawaka, Northside Gym at Elkhart, and the Great Western Forum at South Bend Washington High School. Intriguing matchups tonight, including one that will get started in about 20 minutes at the Cave. It is Penn taking on the second-ranked and undefeated South Bend Riley Wildcats. Kingsmen were down 24-11 to Mishawaka the other night, and I was listening to a good portion of the game. Great job by you guys, as always.
Appreciate it.
And that end of the third quarter, 8-0 run by one guy, pretty much just turned the tide on that particular game.
Drew Lutz, he hit a three-pointer from down in the corner, and then something that hasn't happened to Mishawaka really at all this year is Penn came out when Mishawaka was setting up in the half court. They do like a lot of teams do in high school. There's around a minute to play. You hold the ball, you pass, you try to wind it down. Well, Penn wasn't going to stand for that. They came out and trapped the guards, and Penn has so much more length than Mishawaka, and Mishawaka's shorter guards just, one, had a hard time seeing over it, and two, just Drew Lutz just decided he was going to pick the pocket a couple times, and that was all it took.
Did a heck of a job, and the Kingsmen move on, but a really, really good transition season by Ron Heklinski at Mishawaka. I know they lost a big senior class, but I was very impressed the night I filled in for you watching the JV team play. It appears they've got some good guards on the way that will keep this offense going in the right direction.
Yeah, and there's a small core, but there's some guys who saw significant time this year, guys like Sam Shively and A.J. Rosebush, who are juniors this year. They'll be back, and Grant Jablonski, who is one of the reserves. They're going to need some of those guys to really step up, and they're going to need to find some size to replace the efforts of Mr. Double-Double John Binion. So, but it was a really nice season for them, and obviously they beat Penn once this year, and beat a good St. Joe team, too. And that's something to look for these next few years, especially, too. St. Joe, I mean, they've got some really nice and tall freshman players who saw some varsity time this year, a lot of varsity time. They're going to be good for a while, too.
Well, for Mishawaka, great play-by-play on the radio and some creative, outstanding color analysis, too.
That's right.
From Vince, as always. All right, so good luck to all the teams in Hoosier Hysteria tonight. We'll talk about the Irish and the return of Bonzi Colson in just a couple of moments. But we've been focusing on the NFL Combine as well today on the program. In the first hour, you heard from Josh Adams. It was hard to hear Josh. He was soft-spoken in a big room, and apparently just a little bit away was a curtain that separated the press conferences from all the grunting where they were bench-pressing. And every once in a while, you hear the cheering and hooting and hollering that would kind of wash out Josh's audio. So we did the best we could, but no problem with Mike McGlinchey. He knows what to do with the microphone. He knows how to go into the diaphragm.
That's right.
And push out the sound.
Project.
You will have no problem hearing one of our favorite guys, the starting left tackle of the Fighting Irish last year, Mike McGlinchey, hoping to be a first-round pick in the 2018 NFL Draft. And here's a few moments of what he had to say at the podium down in Indianapolis today as he spoke to the media at the 2018 NFL Combine.
Playing for any team in the NFL is a dream come true. Obviously, as strong as my ties are in the city of Philadelphia and around the area, that would be a dream come true situation. Obviously, Super Bowl champs, passionate city. Everything I do, everybody I love is back at home in Philadelphia. So, if like I said, any team that would pick me would be great, but it would be pretty special to go home to.
Did you talk to the Eagles at all since you've been here? Did you have a meeting set up?
I did. I had a formal interview with them on Tuesday night.
Did you have one with the Giants and Jets?
Not yet.
What do you remember about your interview with the Eagles?
You know, we were just talking ball. I was with Coach Stoutland quite a bit and went over a lot of film. And, you know, he gets eccentric sometimes. And it was really cool for me to sit in there and, you know, let him get as intense as he gets trying to coach me and learn things. And, you know, this is a cool experience for us out here. We're around some of the best and brightest minds in football for the next, you know, week or so. And I get to talk to all these people, which is just so cool to me. And, you know, I'm trying to do my best to present myself in a way that obviously is enticing for teams to pick me. But at the same time, you know, I'm trying to learn a lot of things as well and pick each other and pick these coaches' brains that have been around football for so long and are so well respected.
Have you talked to the Bears yet?
I have not. Well, I've obviously seen Coach E stand around and we've checked in with each other, but I didn't have any formal interviews with the Bears. I'm pretty sure he knows a lot about me.
What stands out about his coaching style and the way that he coached you at Notre Dame?
You know, there's nobody that I've been around in this game that is more passionate about what he does. There's really only two things that are important to him, and it's his family and then his offensive linemen. And there's a lot to be said for that in this game. Everybody's kind of always trying to work an angle to up their own career. He doesn't want to do anything but coach O-line, and that's what really sticks out to us as his players. And, you know, he cares for us like we're his own. Obviously, Coach is extremely hard and is very demanding of his players, which I loved. He pushed me to be the player that I ended up standing here in front of all you guys because of Harry Heistand. But, you know, the amount of passion and care that he has, not only for his job, his teaching abilities, and, you know, his players is what sets him apart.
Mike, specifically, what are some of the things he helped you with that you feel you need some help for?
You know, Harry helped me with everything, man. He's I came into him as a 17-year-old kid, not really knowing how to
to do things the right way and how to approach the game like a pro. And he taught me all of that. He taught me how to play technique-wise. He taught me how to compete as hard as humanly possible, day in and day out. And taught me how to be a pro off the field as well, on and off the field. So it's been a complete transformation from when I was a 16-year-old kid getting recruited by him to now being 23 and finishing my play at 5 years playing for him. I have all the respect in the world for Coach Easton. I wish him nothing but the best for the Bears. And if our paths cross down the road again, that'd be pretty sweet too. I talk to Nick probably once or twice every week. He's one of my best friends in the world. I'm standing in his wedding in June, and he's as good of a guy. He's an even better guy than he is a football player, which says a lot about him, because he's about as good of a player as you can get to. Hopefully can continue to stay healthy for the Texans. I know he's had a lot of success down there with their coaching staff. They like him a lot down there, and they should. They should fall in love with him because of the kind of guy he is, the kind of football player he is, and the leader he is. And playing center down there, you need to command the entire offensive unit, and he does that, and he takes a lot of pride in that. And the sky's the limit for him, and hoping that he can stay healthy.
What would it be like for you to be reunited with him?
Some of the comments of Mike McGlinchey, last year's starting left tackle for the Fighting Irish. He was asked about his former offensive line coach, Harry Hiestand, and he referenced Nick in that last soundbite. And that's former Irish offensive lineman Nick Martin, who is a big part of the offensive line down in Houston with the Texans. So the NFL has really received three outstanding offensive linemen from Notre Dame over the last few years. Zach Martin with the Dallas Cowboys, Nick Martin with the Houston Texans, and Ronnie Stanley with the Baltimore Ravens. And we know for sure that two more are going to be added to that pretty prestigious list. Quentin Nelson is a lock to be an All-Pro at the guard position. I think he's going to be battling probably Zach for All-Pro honors for many years to come. And you take a look at Mike McGlinchey, I'm very, very confident he is going to succeed as a right tackle. I have not as much confidence at left tackle, but I think he has the ability to grow into that position. And he went to work on the old bench press earlier today down in Indianapolis.
He did. They both went to work pretty hard. McGlinchey, I saw, who Mike Mayock has him as his top tackle in this draft, and McGlinchey cranked out 27 reps of 225 pounds on the bench press today. And apparently the positional average. Now, I'm seeing a different number here. What I found on, I think it was Bleacher Report, compared to what they were saying on NFL Network today. On NFL Network, they were saying the average for tackles is 22. This Bleacher Report is saying 25. But in any case, McGlinchey was over that for either one of those averages with 27 reps today. And it's also pretty noteworthy that before Matt Bayless showed up just a little bit more than a year ago, McGlinchey said, when we talked to him last spring, he was only doing 16 reps of 225. And so now, a little bit more than a year later, he got 27 at the NFL Combine today. Not bad.
Remarkable. We saw so much change in so many individuals from 2016 to 2017 with the change in the strength and conditioning program. The proof was in the pictures that we saw on social media.
Quentin Nelson got 35 reps of 225. 35. The average apparently for guards is 26. Again, this is according to Bleacher Report, the numbers they have. So he was 9 over the average for a guard. And the other thing is I was looking at a thing on CBSSports.com, and they had who the winners were and a couple losers of the running backs and the linemen today, and they've got Nelson among the winners, but they have it because of his measurements, 6'5", 325, his height and weight, 33 6/8 inch arms, they say, is tackle size. And of course, he was recruited to play tackle, but that is NFL tackle size, not just college tackle size or high school. That is NFL tackle size. So there's already talk about, could he possibly slide to tackle in the NFL?
Longer arms than McGlinchey and a longer wingspan, which is very interesting. And I'll pass along what Tyler James mentioned in the opening hour of the program, is that Nelson was asked today if he has been talked to by NFL teams about playing tackle, and he says no.
Hmm.
So no conversations, at least as of yet. Those could happen, but I just don't believe in taking something that is elite and moving it, even though, hey, he could be elite at the tackle position. I'm going to leave him where he has shown to be a dominating football player, and that is as an interior offensive lineman.
Absolutely, and I'm looking back. Okay, so McGlinchey got a 34 for his, what is this? This is his arm length, 34-inch arm length. His wingspan is 81. Nelson's wingspan, 82 5/8.
There you go.
So
he's got those tackle measurements.
And I agree with what you're saying, because just the body type that he has now, he just seems like he is much more suited to play guard. And why mess with it? If you can draft a guy who's going to come in and be a dominant guard and let you just... We've called him a road grader, and of course he was called the lie detector and all that kind of stuff. I mean, if you can come in and be the anchor of an offensive line that can potentially just line up and pound the ball right behind you, there's nothing wrong with that at all.
Thanks to Eric Hansen from the Tribune for supplying us with the Josh Adams and Mike McGlinchey audio. We'll get to more of that audio in the coming days, and hopefully we'll have a chance to grab some of that Quentin Nelson audio today as well. Sean and Darren with you. It is 19 minutes after the top of the hour. Sports be brought to you by Budweiser. Coming up next, we shift to college basketball. Bonzi Colson, no rust, no problem. 21 minutes, 12 points, 9 rebounds. You'll hear from Fighting Irish head coach Mike Bray, his thoughts from last night following the 73-56 senior night home win over Pittsburgh. And we will offer some clarification to where the Irish could be seated in the ACC tournament. That's next on 96.1 WSBT, the sports leader. 1st of March, happy March Madness to one and all. 25 minutes after the top of the hour, sports be presented by Budweiser on 96.1 WSBT, the sports leader. Leprechaun Lunch, noon tomorrow, live from these very studios. And Sean Stiers will be with Evan Sharpley for that program. What should we expect?
I know Evan's going to give us a little breakdown of Brandon Wimbush pre-spring, some of his thoughts on what we need to see from Brandon this spring, and just a lot of different things about that. And then, of course, we'll talk a little combine too, and some basketball, getting ready for Virginia this weekend. And we're also going to play a little game. I'm not going to give it away, but there'll be a game played somewhere in the middle of the show tomorrow. Sports related game, but a game nonetheless.
Okay,
that's all I'll say.
Find out what all that means tomorrow at noon here on 96.1 WSBT, the sports leader. And tomorrow's going to be a pretty tough day around here with our great friend JT hosting his final morning show tomorrow morning.
Yep.
From 6 until 9 here on WSBT. 42 years. 42 years.
42. I mean, and I started thinking about when you think about 42 and when that goes to, because that's what, 76, 75, 76, around there someplace. What I was doing when I was that age, and he's been at WSBT doing his thing since, man, that is a long time. Done a great job for 42 years.
Big part of this community during that time, and I know there's a lot of pomp and circumstance playing for tomorrow, so tune in for the final time for JT here on WSBT Radio tomorrow morning from 6 until 9 on 96.1 WSBT. And I don't know what I would do after 42 years when I see the clocks at 8:59. I don't know what I would say. I might just put on the classic JT to the couch music and just head to the showers a minute early.
What's he going to do at 3 a.m. when he's usually getting up? That's the question.
He probably will still wake up.
Sleep.
It's going to take a little time to adjust the body to not having to get up. Maybe a couple of Benadryls will take care of that for a few days.
Yep. My grandpa, he was, you know, career Army and all that stuff, and one of those out of bed early, mm-hmm. early, and he still did it for the rest of his, because by the time I remember, he was already out and everything, but I just remember he would always be up roaming around at before 5 a.m. all the time because he was just so used to it.
JT, tomorrow morning, one more time, the finale here on 96.1 WSBT. Sean Stiers, Darren Pritchett with you, Sports Beat here on 96.1 WSBT. Let's talk college basketball. Notre Dame last night at Purcell Pavilion beat Pittsburgh 73-56, and Pittsburgh got an early dose of this early on.
Now it goes back to Pfluger. Foul line, Colson. He drives right side, double pumps, throws it up and in. Bonzi Colson makes his first shot, and Notre Dame leads 4-2.
Well, it's been a long time since we've seen that signature flip from Bonzi or from any player, really, but it's good to have him back, Jack.
Jack Nolan, Zach Hillsland from the Notre Dame Radio Network on WSBT Radio last night. Bonzi got off to a terrific start. I mean, are you kidding me? Grabbing rebounds, putting the ball in the basket, played 12 minutes in the first half, 4 of 6 from the field, 6 rebounds, 2 block shots, and 1 assist. He finished 21 minutes, 12 points, 9 rebounds, and hit 6 of 10 field goals. Well, I think he exceeded my expectations in the first half. I was hoping for 12 points and 4 rebounds. Well, he had 8 and 6 in the first half all by himself. We knew he had shot a lot during the rehab process. He looked really, really good moving last night. I would have to think the players, that is almost a steroid shot.
Yeah.
Seeing that makes you believe, wow, these next couple of weeks could be very interesting.
It just really seemed like there was a different energy for him early on. I mean, he looked good, active at both ends of the floor, moved well, like you said, and diving for that loose ball on like the first or second possession down there on the sideline. And there were times in the second half where maybe he looked a little sluggish, but I mean, it's to be expected considering he's been out for 2 months, and especially when you do burn that kind of energy up early on. And I mean, he played 21 minutes and he just missed a double double. So that's a pretty good return for a guy who hasn't played in 8 weeks. But it was the kind of performance that he needed, kind of performance that the team needed. Again, I think they really, you could see that shot of energy in him early on, and they're going to need that going forward with everything that's at stake now. And I know he was promising the crowd before the game as well on senior night that big things are still coming for this team. So we will see.
And that would mean no more home games.
That's right.
That would mean NCAA tournament. And they will go to Virginia to take on the number one Cavaliers Saturday at 4 on 96.1 WSBT. But Bonzi looked good in the low block. He offered that mid-range jump shot, could knock down a three-point shot, but this was very, very encouraging. This was on the upper end of anyone's expectations. You know, he looked good running the floor, so all things point to maybe a few more minutes added on to what he could do in Charlottesville on Saturday, as a win against Virginia could put them right on the NCAA tournament bubble. This would be a huge victory, not only to beat number one, but to beat them on the road. Those road wins mean more than a home win, let alone doing it against the number one team in the country and a team that could be the number one overall seed in the NCAA tournament. So after losing 7 in a row, remember what that was like.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the NC State game in Raleigh when it kind of looked like this could all be just done at that point.
Yeah.
They're not done. And here they are trying to push their way onto the NCAA tournament bubble. Let me say this. Throw away all of the analytics, all of the tournament resume stuff just for a second. I just believe, and you can't go on this as their tournament resume, you can't put them in the tournament just because of what I said, but if Notre Dame has Bonzi Colson, Matt Farrell, TJ Gibbs, and Martinus Gebben healthy at the same time, there aren't going to be too many teams in the country that are going to be overly interested in playing Notre Dame on the opening weekend of the NCAA tournament. If those four players are full go, those are four outstanding offensive players. And I don't mean to leave out Rex Fluger. He's a part of this as well. But I'm talking about from an offensive punch standpoint. You've got four horses to put in the stall.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, if Notre Dame gets in, they're going to be in that double-digit seed area. The four and the five seeds are going to be scared to death if Notre Dame comes up as their opponent in the first round. With those four guys healthy, that doesn't mean they're going to get in the tournament just because they're all four healthy. It still comes down to resume, numbers. I get mm-hmm. that. But I mean, just for a moment, throw aside the analytics. Are you telling me a four seed in the tournament or a five seed, they're going to be overly thrilled to see that Notre Dame name come up? Absolutely not. Those four healthy, that is a dangerous bunch. It's just getting into the tournament right now to show what they can do.
Yeah, and that's what happens on the court and how they look these next few games is going to have to replace some of those analytics because the numbers are not in their favor right now. But the bottom line is, and there was even some reference, LaFonso Ellis was doing the game on ESPNU. And
where did he graduate, by the way, listening to yeah, his comments throughout the night?
But at the same time, what's his name? The White Sox play-by-play guy was doing the play-by-play as well last night. And he's got that Italian last name, and I had too many T's and
I's. Very enjoyable to listen
yeah,
to.
Yeah, I mean, they did a good job. But I mean, he was referencing it as well. It's not as much. They have to make the case kind of what you're talking about. Do you want to play Notre Dame?
No.
That's one of the big questions. The committee's going to have to ask a lot of questions when it starts coming down to crunch time. But that's going to be a big one. It's more going to be about what you see on the floor right now than necessarily what those numbers are, because those numbers are largely during ACC play when they were without Bonzi Colson. So they're going to have to ask themselves after the ACC tournament, is Notre Dame a team that you would want to play right now? Are they an NCAA tournament team right now with these guys? And that's what they're going to have to ask themselves.
And with Bonzi healthy over the next week and a half, they need to look as good as they have all year to the committee, because you have to get rid of the healthy Bonzi Colson, healthy Matt Farrell, healthy DJ Harvey portion of the schedule when they lost to Ball State at home and Indiana on a neutral floor. Look really, really good the next week and a half, and maybe that will partially offset those particular defeats that are two of the reasons why they're in the spot they are right now. And, of course, that losing streak with Bonzi out is a big part of the conversation as well. Mike Bray, victory number 400 as head coach of the Fighting Irish after they beat Pittsburgh last night 73-56. And as always, he joined Jack Nolan and Zach Hillsland on the Notre Dame Basketball Radio Network for a post-game conversation. And here's what it sounded like on WSBT Radio last night.
You know, what an unbelievable night. First of all, special thanks to our crowd and our fans this season. They have been with us the whole way, and we had great energy tonight. But you had an unbelievable pregame ceremony. How about the Lithuanian national anthem? Wasn't that a great touch? Then our seniors play well, and Bonzi's in a rhythm, and we couldn't ask for anything. But you're right, Jack. I told them, you know, I really respect this group. We lost seven in a row in January, and we're one game away from finishing 500 in this league and being back in the discussion for the NCAA tournament. So I love where we're at, and we obviously have a great opportunity against a great team on Saturday in Charlottesville.
Well, Coach, were you surprised at how sharp Bonzi was tonight? We were looking at ourselves like we couldn't believe that he was grabbing rebounds and scoring like he hadn't missed a thing.
I really wasn't, because of what I saw in practice the last 2 days, Zach. He, even Monday's practice, the first time he went 5-on-5 and we kept it in the half court, he was around, you know, what you forget when he hadn't been around, how his nose for the ball, he's around it all the time and finishing plays and getting fouled and making plays. And, you know, I thought 20 minutes I thought would be just right for him. We'll inch him up a little bit more in Charlottesville, but by Brooklyn, you know, he may be able to go 30. But we couldn't ask for a better night for him to come back out and feel part of it.
A great night for everybody involved with this team, but for Matt Farrell and his family. Matt tonight, 14 points. Pitt made a little run, and he immediately said, no, you're not doing this tonight. Hits the three. But everything that he has been through with the injury, his granddad passes on Saturday, But the player that he has become, he is on as good a roll right now from a leadership and scoring perspective as any guard you've ever had.
Once we got that ankle healthy, Jack, he is in a great rhythm. He's setting the tone for us, making big shots, making big plays. I'm really proud of how he's kind of led. But I think he's a more confident leader because he's got his roommate, Bonzi, back there in huddles on the court. Those two guys are joined at the hip, and I think it can really help us again having them together. They're moving forward.
You had the spotlight on you earlier this year. We had that banner up there.
Yeah.
Got that done, but yeah. We got to go here. Tonight is your 400th win at Notre Dame.
That's a lot of basketball, huh?
Isn't it?
Wow. That's unbelievable, really. I mean, I was looking at that today and thinking I have been really blessed. I'm so honored to be the coach here. And, man, as I said when we got 394, took me a little longer to get to 400 than I wanted to because of that January. But anyways, you know, I've had really good players and great assistants and great support here. So I think that group in there now with Bonzi back, they certainly want to keep playing for a while.
When you look at this entire season, could there now be a better storyline? You're healthy. You're going on the road for a game that no one thinks you can win against the number one ranked team in the country.
No, it's set up perfect. There's no question about it. They're really good, and they really defend you, and they're confident and playing well. But what an opportunity for us, you know. If you get that one and you're 9-9 in this league, you are thoroughly on the board in the committee room being talked about. And then let's go to Brooklyn. And last time I checked, we're pretty good in Brooklyn,
good.
You know, and we can't wait to get there, too. So we need some rest tomorrow. And then we'll tune it up in Charlottesville with a practice in the evening on Friday and let it rip on from Saturday.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
See, there it is. Let her rip.
Let her rip.
I love when he says that. Just let her rip. And you know what? That has been a phrase that has worked very well for his teams through the years. So, again, according to Notre Dame basketball, this is the way it stands for possible seeding in the ACC tournament. If Notre Dame loses to Virginia, that means they're 8-10. They would be the number 9 seed if Boston College beats Florida State in Tallahassee. If Florida State beats Boston College, Notre Dame is the 10 seed. But if Notre Dame defeats number 1 Virginia in Charlottesville, they will have secured the number 9 seed. In the ACC tournament, there's a chance the 8 seed could be Louisville, which I think is much more appetizing than playing number 7 Virginia Tech, who's playing outstanding. Plus, I like the idea of playing Louisville, who is now a bubble team, and you could possibly bump Louisville behind you in the pecking order for those final spots. So I would love to see the Irish end up number 9 to get Louisville. If Louisville ends up being the 8, there still could be some movement, and then you'd have a second chance to play Virginia in the quarterfinal round of the ACC tournament.
There's a lot of matchups I like better with Bonzi in the lineup.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you beat Virginia Tech. That's one heck of a win, though, right now.
Yeah.
But I just think Louisville is a more winnable game right now, and again, that could be an elimination game for the NCAA tournament. In fact, it might be because Louisville's not sitting in a really good spot right now. Last time I checked, they were in that first 4 portion of the bracket, which means they are very close from slipping on the wrong side of the bubble. And we know Notre Dame's going to have to win that game in order to get into the NCAA tournament. I mean, even if you beat Virginia, it feels like you lose that second round game. That might be counterproductive.
Right.
But who knows? The bubble stinks, as we know, and that gives you a chance.
And that's where they are right now. Now, did you see, by the way, what Buzz Williams did during the their win over North Carolina the other night?
I can only imagine.
The students were chanting BS, BS.
Oh, yeah.
Or only they were actually saying the word, and so he went to the public address guy, and he grabbed it, and he said, "Hey, stop cussing. And no matter what happens in this game, don't throw anything on the floor." And then he went back to the bench and they kept playing. It was pretty cool.
I wish he would have said, you know, "You don't live in Cleveland, you live in Cincinnati."
And that's kind of what I was thinking.
The Sam Weiss moment moons ago.
That's right.
As head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals. All right, the Irish 18-12, 8-9 of the ACC at number 1 Virginia Saturday at 4 on WSBT. Rapid Fire is next.
Nope.
Now we go to Rapid Fire.
Let's do it. We're going to start with an audio question, Darren. I want you to listen to this.
Here we go.
So do you know what that is, Darren?
I have a really smart aleck answer.
It sounds... I know where you're going, too.
I don't want it to be my final show at WSBT.
Yeah. Well, it's the Lithuanian national anthem, of course.
Oh. I had the wrong country.
You thought it was Borat, didn't you?
No, that's not where I was going.
Okay, well, we were in different... I won't ask you where you're...
Thank you.
Wasn't that pretty cool last night when they played the Lithuanian national anthem for Martin Gebbett?
It was fantastic, and I'll just say this. For years, Notre Dame hockey has done that for their seniors.
I got to do senior night, obviously, for you, yeah. And they did Canada, of course, for... Was it Jake Evans that they did it for? Mm-hmm.
We've done all different anthems through the years, and if you go to the Compton, they leave the flags up of our former players' countries. So we've done that for a while, so when I heard that, I'm like, wow, this... I've always appreciated when Notre Dame has done that for hockey, and I'm really glad Mike Bray and the Irish did that for Martin Gebbett. That was really, really cool. Great touch.
Hockey's got a Max Eisenmenger, a German, so maybe you'll get Deutschland über alles here in the near future.
We've had Italy, we've had Sweden, we've had a lot of different choices. So yeah, it's fun on senior night.
Yeah, it was. And it was cool, too. They unfurled the Lithuanian flag up there in the rafters. They did it upright. That was just pretty cool.
Job well done.
Last night. Yep, I thought that was cool. All right, so now onto the big question. Scale of 1 to 10, how differently do you feel about Notre Dame after seeing them with Bonzi Colson back last night?
I feel really, really good. I feel like they're a team that can beat anybody at this particular moment with the big four, those four offensive players, back together. So I feel better than I thought I was going to feel. I mean, I gave you my expectations, 12 points, 4 rebounds. I wasn't sure how well he was going to move. Wow, he looked really, really good. So
yeah, he did.
I feel like... anything is possible with this group. I just hope they have enough time to get to the bubble.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Hopefully they don't run out of time. And we did this the other day after seeing them against Wake Forest over the weekend, and it was the same question. How differently do you feel? Mine was a 2, and it was kind of a concerned 2 because they barely beat a team with 4 wins in the ACC, even though it was on the road, but they barely beat them. And so I moved this... To, I think, a 4 now, because I thought last night was the perfect kind of opponent for Bonzi to come back against. I mean, let's be honest. Pitt was not very good. They finished 0-18 in the ACC. So really, it was almost kind of like an early season non-conference type opponent that he got to come back against, sort of shake the rust off. And, I mean, there wasn't much rust early on. Again, There was some later because I think the stamina, but we said that going in, that's to be expected. But, I mean, the first media timeout didn't come until 13:15 because play just kept going on. But by that time, he had 8 of his 12 points on 4 out of 6 shooting, 5 rebounds as well. I mean, he looked really good. And again, I thought it was the good kind of opponent for him to come back against, a good return, and now they get ready, kind of a tune-up for Virginia this weekend.
And let me just add, even putting Bonzi aside, the way they move the basketball, it gives you hope against Virginia.
Yeah, the good ball movement, just a lot of good things overall.
The mid-season ball movement would have no chance against Virginia. That ball movement has a chance.
Yep. I agree. Okay, NIT, the dirty word. Now this,
come on.
No. No. This is not... I'm not going where you think I'm going with this. The NIT is going to experiment with a handful of rules changes during the tournament this year. They're going to move the three-point line to 22 feet. They're going to expand the lane from 12 to the NBA 16. They're also going to use 4 10-minute quarters as opposed to 20-minute halves. Do you like any of those as potential permanent going forward for college basketball?
You gotta be paping me!
I guess the quarter system is interesting, resetting the fouls each quarter. It's actually worked in the women's game. So I would be intrigued to see how that works. But let me know how it works because I'm not going to be watching.
I don't like the reset of the not that I'm necessarily watching. I don't like the reset of the fouls. Like in the high school game, for example, you keep the fouls going forward, just like you would if it was a 20-minute half. I just like the men's college game is the only level. NBA uses quarters. High school uses mm-hmm. quarters. Women's now uses quarters. The men's game is the only one that doesn't. I like the natural break, maybe saves a timeout. A team like Notre Dame, for example, this year with a depleted roster might have benefited from something like that because you get a natural rest and you don't have to use timeouts and things like that. And I think maybe it makes sense to move the three-point line back because where the game is right now, the average to above average college guys, I think they can make it pretty consistently from back there. So I'll be that's the only thing that I would be interested to watch the NIT for is just to see what some of these things look like. But other than that, I agree. I don't know when the last time was I watched an NIT game, but I do like the quarters. I like the idea of quarters going forward.
You have just won the coin flip to be our NIT correspondent.
Hey, hey, hey.
Congratulations.
Now you're going to, well, now, we won't go there right now, but what if? I mean, we might all end up having to watch it. So, all right. The Bears have cut ties. That's right. Mm-hmm. Have to might be enough. Mm-hmm. The Bears have cut ties with their one-year experiment, Mike Glennon, who was supposed to be the starter, then they drafted Mitch Trubisky. In the meantime, Johnny Manziel says he would play for free to come back in the NFL. Would you want either one of those guys as a backup for your NFL team?
I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I'd rather have Tim Tebow than Johnny Manziel.
I wouldn't disagree with that. I would not disagree with that at all.
Nothing. And I'm looking at it from my team's perspective. I'm really not overly interested in anything you have to offer there.
I agree. I think for Manziel, if he is serious about this whole thing, because there have been some talks about Canada, I think Canada would be the perfect place for him right now. Go to Canada. You'd have a really good shot to be a starter, get on the field, show what you can do. Show that you can actually put in the work, get in the film room, study the playbook, do all that stuff. And his style of play, too, might go over really great in Canada. Who knows? And I mean, other guys, it's been a while, but Joe Theismann, Warren Moon, they all went to Canada first, showed what they could do, and then came over. I think that would be perfect for Johnny Manziel. Glennon, I think he's probably a career backup. I mean, he did complete 66% of his passes. Didn't have a great quarterback rating, but completed 66% before Trubisky took over. But there was nothing on the roster there either. So I think
is that
backup
the turnovers?
Is a perfect place for him. Well,
that he completed to the other team?
But again, there wasn't a whole lot to work with either. But.
No. That wide receiving group, one of the weakest you'll see in the NFL.
Yeah. Do we have time for anything else, or do we need to wrap it up?
We need to be done in the next minute 10, so we're good.
Okay. Until this week, Mike Napoli was among that group of unsigned free agents, and you probably saw this on MLB Network. The Indians have signed him to a minor league contract to bring him to spring training, really with the purpose of he's not going to be with the Indians most likely this season, but because he's been there before, he has the relationship, they're going to give him an opportunity to get actual spring training game at-bats and with the hopes that maybe he ends up someplace else. What do you think about it?
I think it's a great idea, and they went to Edwin Encarnacion and also Yonder Alonso and told them, this does not affect you. This is almost just a little thank you to Napoli to get him out of that little free agent camp into a real camp. So the fact that they took care of their active players that could be affected by this makes this an even better idea.
And there are a lot of guys who kind of fit this bill, veteran guys who aren't necessarily the stars like Arrieta, who still think they're going to get the big deal and all that kind of stuff. So I hope some other teams would do this. It's great. I mean, you expect this from a guy like Terry Francona, but they've got the relationship with him. He's a good veteran presence. He's been everywhere he's gone. So hopefully other guys do get some opportunities like this as well, because otherwise you're just stuck in that camp practicing, you know.
That's Rapid Fire on 96.1 WSBT.
Hi, this is Dan Patrick, and you're listening to South Bend's number one sports talk show, Weekday Sports Beat on 96.1 WSBT.
You can catch Dan Patrick tomorrow morning from 9 to noon on 96.1 FM WSBT. Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat brought to you by Budweiser. Great times are waiting. Grab some Buds. Sean, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Sounds good.
Eric Hansen back at the NFL Combine tomorrow here on 96.1 FM WSBT South Bend. The Mike Bray Radio Show is just seconds away.